When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Back in episode 155 of Thunder Punch Daily, which you can find at comicsaregreat.com/TPD155, I talked a little bit about I shared my experiences and some of the challenges in using Tapastic as a webcomics publishing service. It is a great service. It's super easy to use on mobile devices, whether it's a tablet or a phone. It looks great. It's easy to navigate, but there were some challenges in terms of confusing terminology. You can go and listen to the episode to hear more about that. But the reason I bring this up is that in the top part of that episode, I kind of led with this explaining my publishing strategy for the Boulder and Fleet webcomic, which you can read at boulderandfleet.com. It's about a bear and a bird going on adventures and righting wrongs from town to town kind of thing. And I hinted at what my thinking was behind it, and I kind of made a mental note to come back to that later on and explain it in more detail. And I was reminded to do this because I had a private discussion with another cartoonist who is doing some webcomic-y stuff, and they were asking me about the methods that I'm using because, in their words, it seemed to go against a lot of common wisdom. And I want to preface this with the disclaimer that if my strategy does go against common wisdom, I don't think that that is a sign necessarily that I'm a trailblazer here. I think what it is, or what it could be, it's equally possible that it's a sign that it's a foolish decision. I could wind up regretting what I'm doing. I could be doing it all wrong. And as a matter of fact, I mean, as I break down this this topic, I mean, there's evidence to suggest that I may be entirely in the wrong on this. But I thought it'd be useful for me to go through my thinking process and the strategy that I landed on in case anybody is curious about such a thing. So webcomics. The historical advice has been to have historical for the past 14, 15 years, have a canonical website, have a yourcomic.com website and pull readers there. Entice readers to come back. Have an update schedule that you stick to. You make a contract and get people to come back week after week, day after day, or whatever. And you have different monetization strategies in the way of delivering ads on the site, creating products. You've got a blog on there that you communicate with your readers. Maybe you have some kind of a forum through which you communicate with your readers. I've experimented with these things in the past. And that has been the model that a lot of people have used, some very successfully. And I remember in an old Thunder Punch Daily, and maybe it was even in the old Art and Story podcast, when iPhones first came out, and when the iPad seemed imminent, I remember getting very, very excited about this idea that, well, maybe the next step in webcomics would be dedicated apps. There'd be an app for everybody's comic. So the app becomes the dynamic the dynamic ebook version of your comic with lots of interactivity, basically. Take your webcomic site on the go wherever you are, whether or not you have a data connection. I remember talking very excitedly about that idea, but as time has gone on, I think that that's not necessarily. I mean, like ebooks have kind of filled in that gap of that hazy vision that I had, but also connectivity seems to be becoming more and more widespread, and the idea of having to download an individual app for every comic that you read, that would be nonsense. And then things like Comixology came along, things like Tapastic, things like iVerse Media, Comics Plus have come along to sort of fill that gap by being sort of like a cloud service for all your comics. So that's good. But I've heard it described as that the method of having a webcomic site is what they call pull service, right? You are pulling the readers in. They're going to your site specifically to get to your thing, and depending on how good you are at promoting your comic and how good you are at reader engagement and how good you are at teasing your comic on various social networks, that can be super, super effective. But as I looked at the Boulder and Fleet comic, which some people were aware of as I was pumping out sketches over the last 2 years and talking about it, not a lot of people know about this thing. It's essentially a brand new comic for as far as the world is concerned. So what is the objective that I'm trying to achieve here? The biggest, topmost objective is get the comic in front of as many people as possible. Well, putting it on a webcomic site and then just pumping out links about it can be effective, but it's not the most effective thing in the entire world as far as for a brand new thing, even if you've got, you know, a lot of followers or a big audience, because a behavior I've observed, both like behavior of other people and my own behavior, is like when I post images with links, they get more activity than just when I post links alone. And I'm saying posting to things like Facebook, like Twitter, like all the different social media things. And here's where I got to back up and say social media, I've heard that described as push publishing, right? People agree to follow you. They go, hey, I'm going to follow @Jersey on Twitter. And then his stuff will just come to me as he posts it. Every time I check Twitter, it's going to show up in the feed, right? So it's like social RSS gathering. for those who still use RSS. But when I would post things where it'd be like, hey, there's a new thing to look at. There's a new thing to listen to. There's a new thing I made, link. That would get less activity than when I would post an image to go along with it. Okay, so observed behavior, images get more activity, whether it's, you know, liking, retweeting, or click through. Also, another objective, I want to make, in the effort to get the comic in front of as many people as possible, I want to make it as easy to share as possible. And the nice thing about the social networks is that it's trivial to just hit retweet or reblog or share or whatever button that it is that lets you pump the thing to all of your followers, right? I find, speaking only for myself, that I almost never use the share buttons on a website. Like the website will have the article and there'll be all these buttons to share it on all these different services. I almost never use those things. I even installed a extension for Chrome to easily share to Google+. When I'm just browsing a website. So if I'm on a website and then I see something neat, I can just share it on Google+. I almost never use that. If I really want to post the thing, I'm going to copy the link out of the address bar and post it that way. But even then, if I want people to interact with it, I'm going to grab an image off the website, post it as an image with the link under the image. And in my Google+ testing, that has been the most successful way to do it. Even video, like I'll post Lean Into Artcasts or Comics Are Great shows on Google+, and I'll post the video. Or I'll just post the opening credits image. And the one that's just an image gets more interaction than when I post the actual video, which is weird, right? I haven't quite unboxed why that is. But so I want frictionless sharing. My testing has proven that images get more interactivity. So that was what led me to say, okay, well, for the initial rollout of the Boulder and Fleet comic, I'm going to post it natively to Twitter, to Instagram, to Google+, to Tumblr, and to Tapastic. I guess I should make a mention of this blog post, Ben Towley, or Ben Toll. I don't know how to pronounce his name now. A cartoonist who did a comic called Oyster War, he wrote a great breakdown of reflections on running a webcomic for a long time. He finished his comic Oyster War and he said, you know, he had all these takeaways that he shared with everybody, and I'll link to it in the show notes. And one of the things that he says in there is that Tumblr is a terrible platform for long-form narrative comics. And if you do just use the standard Tumblr theme, then yeah, it kind of is. It's not the most elegant way to post a webcomic. But fortunately, people have come along and made themes for webcomics on Tumblr. And the Boulder and Fleet comic, which I should go to. If you go to boulderandfleet.com, you can see what theme I'm using. And I think it's just called Easy Webcomic Theme. But it's simple to install, and it's really easy to customize and modify and change all the colors and settings on it to match what you want it to look like. And it looks just like a WordPress installation. But one of the pieces of advice I did follow from Ben's blog, or one of the pieces of advice he shares that I have no argument with whatsoever, is get your domain name and use it. And so that's another great thing about Tumblr is that you can associate your domain with it, not just with a URL forward where people click on or type boulderandfleet.com, but it takes them to boulderandfleet.tumblr.com. No, it incorporates the website or the URL into the Tumblr so that all the addresses are boulderandfleet.com, whatever page they hit. So it'd be boulderandfleet.com/page2 or whatever when they go through the archives. And then that way I can always, if I decide I don't want to use Tumblr anymore, I can just move it, right? But let's analyze some risks here. What are the risks of doing it this way, of posting it natively to so many different sites? Because another thing that's kind of popped up in the last couple of years, and this is where I think, like, this goes back to my earlier statement about how I may be entirely on the wrong on this, is I don't know if you guys have heard about this thing called Posse, Publish on Your Own Site, Syndicate Everywhere. It's this indie webcamp movement to get people to stop posting all of your native content in social networks because you're just adding value to those social networks, and the social networks make the rules. They're the ones who own the service, so they can change the rules all the time, and you know, you don't, whatever audiences you build there, you don't get to keep, right? Which is a very good argument for going back to the historical model of having a canonical website where people subscribe through RSS or some other means, and or a mailing list for that matter. Ooh, mailing list. I didn't even think about that one. I'm going to have to look into that as a possibility for Boulder and Fleet. But that way you capture and maintain your audience. You own that information. Whereas when you have a follower count someplace else, really the social network owns that information. And if they decide to change things in some kind of bad way that you don't agree with, you're kind of out of luck with that audience. So argument for the Posse method, and it's a strong one. And that's one of the risks that you face by doing it the way I'm doing it right now. As I think about, as I was evaluating my risks, you know, I've got balkanized audiences. Each audience is reading it only on one platform. By making it easy to read Boulder and Fleet only on Instagram, there's going to be people who only read it on Instagram. And so follow-up question, is that a big deal to me? Right? Is that a risk that is big enough that it's going to stop me from doing it? So I thought about it, and I was like, well, it would be a big deal if I wanted to serve ads, if I wanted to build enough traffic on the website that I wanted to make ad revenue off of the comic, then yes, that would be a bad thing, which I don't have any hopes of doing right now, and probably ever, because I don't think Boulder and Fleet is not, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, this could be one of those things where I'm going to have to constantly evaluate as I publish this thing, it doesn't feel like a very internet-y comic to me. It feels like something that can find an audience there, but it'll be a niche audience. It's not going to be something where, you know, G4 TV, if that even still exists, is going to be talking about it, right? If I was going to build a community around the comic, like let's say I wanted to have some kind of like forum where all the readers could interact, and I did do this back in the old days with my other web comics, then yes, that would be a problem too about publishing natively other places, because if I balkanize my audience, if I have them all separated into all these little camps, then you know, they don't know where to get all together. Whereas if everybody was being funneled into a canonical site, there'd be no missing that forum button, right? But another problem I'm trying to solve here is that I don't want to run comments on any of my personal websites anymore. I've shut comments off on comicsaregreat.com, partially because it was another signal that I had to attend to that is better served, is easier, more easily served on social networks, right? Rather than email me or rather than comment on my things on my website, why not just reach out to me on Twitter or someplace else? I don't feel like the comments added that much value to the content on my website. So by posting natively to social networks, the commenting functionality is built right in those places. People can at tweet me, they can comment on Facebook or on Google+, and they can comment on the Instagram, right? So that's taken care of. That's one of the friction points that this solves for me. And then as I said earlier, another risk is that Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Google+, and whatever can change their terms of service at any time. And to that end, I grabbed boulderandfleet.com. I bought it the moment I found that it was available. And then if that happens, I can move the comic to some other site. I can do my own self-hosted WordPress or some other, I can go to Squarespace, some other self-hosting service where I would have more of that control if the need arises. Right now, I don't see that need being a very strong one. It, or the need for that is outweighed by the need to get the comic in front of as many eyes as possible. One last thought on image sharing, because Tumblr gets a bad rap sometimes, some Tumblr users get a bad rap for sharing things without attribution, and that is a risk that I'm taking with this, is that it's possible that some teens out there or some, you know, weird adults are going to be like, hey, this is a great comic, I'm going to take off the URL at the bottom of the page and the name, and I'm just going to post it as if I did it. I don't see that as likely with Boulder and Fleet because it is a long-form narrative comic, and it's not something where it encapsulates some kind of joke about office life or about being a teenager with no money who's hungry and is lovesick or something like that. The jokes in the comic are kind of character-driven and not scenario-driven as much. And who even knows if they're funny, right? I think they are, but we'll have to see if the internet thinks they are. But so I think the risk, I evaluate that risk as being lower. Also, sharing. Instagram does not have easy tools for sharing. So I know that there are some services with which you can do that. But then again, that also puts up like a lower third on the image that shows that it was reshared from some other service, which is cool because it gives attribution to where the original image came from. But that also covers up the URL on the pages that I put on there, because on the bottom of every Boulder and Fleet page says boulderandfleet.com. And again, this goes to my thesis for my publishing strategy at this point in time, and this will change. I know it will change, but at this, as of November 2014, you know, only 5-6 pages into updating the new webcomic, my thinking is that the goal is to get as many people to see it as possible, and that is to post, and the way to do that is to post it natively on all these different services and just make sure that every page has the canonical URL on the page so that, yeah, let's say 10,000 people see it on Google Plus. Let's say only 0.01% actually goes, hey, this is great, I really want this in my life. Well, now they have a clear signal on the page of where to go to get more of that, right? And let's say, now, Jersey, you don't have a singular blog to post about new items for sale in your store or anything, because you're posting natively on all these different services. Sure, I do. I post the picture on Twitter with, you know, new Boulder and Fleet page, and hey, there's Boulder and Fleet plushies in the store. Link. Same on Instagram, right? Here's new Boulder and Fleet page. Oh, and by the way, new Boulder coffee mugs available in the store. Link. So they also kind of serve as both the page updates and the blog posts. So right now, I'm not anticipating a lot of risks or problems with this. I guess final risk would be is that there's a little bit of extra bandwidth on my part in terms of updating all these different services with the pages. Right now, I'm doing it mostly manually, and it doesn't take that long. It doesn't really take that long. Note, Instagram does get persnickety about the image sizes. I think it winds up having to be something like, 1,500 pixels wide, something like that. 1,280. 1,280 pixels wide is like the biggest you should make the image. Because if you make it any bigger than that, I was posting 2,400 by 2,400, which is like the actual file size that I saved them at. And it has a hard time downsampling that image, and it looks really grainy and kind of crummy. So I do have to do an extra Photoshop action where I save the exported JPEGs and 1280 pixels wide for Instagram and then 940 pixels wide for Tapastic. And they all have their own max file size kind of thing. And I just want to make sure they look as good as possible on every service. So there's a little bit of extra bandwidth in the front end of that, like with each update. Right now, it's not taking up that much time. I mean, it's like an extra 5-10 minutes tops. If this becomes a problem, there's always services like If This Then That, ifttt.com, which is a fantastic service for posting to cross posting to multiple sites natively. Like there's a way you can publish out of Instagram to Twitter as a native image post, so it doesn't post it as just a link. So there's always that I can look into and investigate more deeply if I do need to streamline this even more. So them's my thoughts for now on this thing, and I will be certain, I will certainly share my results as they go along. Right now, the biggest, as I said in episode 155, the biggest uptake and the most interaction I've gotten as far as platforms go is Tipastic. It seems to be a very enthusiastic readership there. And while the audience isn't growing as fast as it was the first couple weeks, it's still growing. Every week I'm getting more subscribers to the comic there. So, and you know, people are commenting on the pages as they show up. Not getting quite as fast of an uptake on Instagram or Tumblr or Twitter. But that's where experimentation and being playful will come in, and I'll keep testing different ideas and playing with different things and seeing what happens. And if it turns out to be a failed experiment, I can always try something else. So is there a right way to do this thing? Heck no. The important thing is to be thoughtful about the ways that you use and not just follow some kind of prescription. So do read Ben Towley's post about this, and then read things like posts at webcomics.com, how to make webcomics. Lots of people post about this, their own strategies and thoughts and approaches to this thing. Mine is just one of many, and I'm looking forward to keeping playing around with it. Who am I? Jersey Drozd, comicsaregreat.com, boulderandfleet.com. This recording is part of the Art Sound Off Challenge, artsoundoff.com, where I and a bunch of other visual storytellers are recording daily art journal observations in audio form and sharing them with the public using the hashtag artsoundoff. And you can find out more about playing along yourself. There's just 9 days left in the thing by going to artsoundoff.com. And my thanks to everybody who's been participating and interacting with one another. It's been a lot of fun. And although this has been a challenge doing the recordings every day, it's been fun to be engaged in the challenge with a whole bunch of compatriots. So I'll be back tomorrow with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody.
As you saw in today's story, people can change.
Right, Tila. Sibylline had always been an evil sorceress, but she was able to change her ways for the better. Maybe there's something about yourself that you don't like. A bad habit, maybe.
It's easy to say I can't change, but the truth is, you can change almost any behavior if you really want to.
And the first step is saying to yourself, I can't.